Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wasn't that sweet praise? I loved it. How great is our God? There's no one greater. There is no other God. There never has been and there never will be. He's the one. Hallelujah. Well, I've got a message for us tonight, and I think the devil didn't want me to get here because we headed out in our car and looked at the gas tank, and I said, we better get some gas before we get there. So we were going to do that, and then I got up to the stop sign at County Road 317 and put the brake on and went all the way to the floor. And I went, whoa, this is not good. So we ended up turning around and switching to the truck and had to get gas in it. And so, but we got here. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord's got a message, and he may step on some toes because he stepped on mine. I about decided I need to order me some steel-toed boots. And it's a message that goes along with the revival messages that Pastor Robert's been speaking on. And so let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you're here in our midst. I thank you that you have the truth for us tonight. And so we open up our hearts. We open up our spiritual ears to hear what you have to say to your church. We want to know the truth because the truth sets us free. We want to walk in the truth, and we want to glorify you because you are worthy. So, Father, we just want to learn of you tonight. So teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, get your Bibles out. Ooh. Jeremiah chapter 27. Page 635. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, as I usually do. A lot of you know this chapter. This is the yoke chapter. And I want to start at verse 2. This is what the Lord said to me. Jeremiah speaking, writing. This is what the Lord said to me. Make a yoke and fasten it on your neck with leather thongs. Now, this is just this will be kind of a morsel of truth to start off with, but what does that remind you of? Yeah, take my yoke upon you. Where is that? Matthew 11, verses 29 and 30. It might be in Luke too, I don't know. So Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. Well, here we have a true prophet of Jehovah, Jeremiah, and God tells him, hey, I want you to go out and make a yoke and put it on, tie it on with thongs. And so he does. He takes the yoke upon him. That's what we're going to do. That's what we have done. When we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we take his yoke upon us. And we learn of him. Well, so Jeremiah takes this yoke. And I'm not going to belabor this point, but I want to go on and say, and the Lord continued to say, then send messages to the kings of Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, and Sidon through their ambassadors who have come to see King Zedekiah in Jerusalem and give them this message for their masters. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says, with my great strength and powerful arm, I made the earth and all its people and every animal. I can give you these things. I can give these things of mine to anyone I choose. Now, I don't know about you, but this truth right here that God made the earth and he made us and he made all the animals is that singular truth by which I know that I am saved through the Lord Jesus Christ because he made everything. And we understand that by faith, Hebrews 11:3. And so we know that he made everything. And not only that, if we belong to him, he has bought mankind again, right? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So not only did he make us, but he bought us back. He bought back the very thing that he made. And we belong to him. And so he's saying right here, I'm the one with great strength, I'm the one with a powerful arm, and I made the earth and the people and all the animals, and I can do whatever I want with what I made. Amen? Okay, so he says, so now I'll give your countries to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, who is my servant. I've put everything, even the wild animals, under his control. So that's what the Lord said that he would do to those countries, Edom, Moab, Ammon, Tyre, and Sidon. Now let's skip to verse 9. And here's what I really wanted to get to out of this chapter tonight. So he goes on to say, and this is to the, maybe we ought to look at verse 8, huh? So he says, okay, so do not listen to your false prophets, fortune tellers, interpreters of dreams, mediums, and sorcerers who say, the king of Babylon will not conquer you. Don't listen to them. Why? They are all liars, verse 10. And their lies will lead to your being driven out of your land. I will drive you out and send you far away to die. So there's a verse in Romans 15:4. In verse 3, Paul quotes a scripture from Psalm 69, verse 9. And in verse 4, he says that what was written in old times was written for your instruction. So, church, this is written for our instruction. And what he's saying is, if we listen to lies, we will be driven out of our land. And not only that, not only will we be driven out of our land, but we will die. And that's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve listened to a lie. And they were driven out of the garden. God banished them from the Garden of Eden and told Adam, you're going to cultivate the ground from which I made you. And Adam died, albeit at 930 years old, but he died. And so when we believe a lie, we're going to be driven out of the place that God had made us to occupy. I'm thinking of a New Testament example would be Ananias and Sapphira. Not only did they listen to a lie, but they repeated it. And therefore, the place that they should have occupied was stolen from them, and they died. And they died immediately. So as a church, individually and corporately, we need to be sure that we stay free. And the thing about oftentimes about lies is we don't know that we've been lied to because we've been deceived. And so the thing that we need to do most of all is that we need to soak ourselves in the truth. Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And he said it in Galatians 5:1, Paul says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free, so be sure that you stay free. So we need to stay free. Because the truth is that if we listen to liars, and the word says that in the last days, there are going to be liars. And the devil will want to deceive even the elect. And so the antidote for a lie is the truth. And so we need to stand in the truth. We need to know the truth. We need to walk the truth. We need to speak the truth. And we need to speak the truth to one another. Okay. Another way of saying this is that if we continue to listen to the lie like the Israelites did, and they became so, it became so ingrained in them, and they continued to do it and to do it and to do it, even though the Lord God Almighty sent prophet after prophet after prophet to tell them the truth, they continued in the lie. And what happened was, is the Babylonians came and conquered them. And so that's what we're going to look at next. So flip over two chapters to chapter 29. So remember that all the scripture is written for our instruction. Now this is really cool. This is where I want to spend the most of our time tonight. And I pray that we'll all be able to take the truth and let it take a deep, deep root in our lives. I'm going to start in, for its welfare will determine your welfare. First Peter 2:11. And I memorized it in the RSV, and I'm going to quote it from the RSV, and it says, Beloved, I beseech you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh that wage war against your soul. In the New Living Translation, it says, Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. So, church, we're exiles right now. We're exiles in this world while we wait for our eternal home. And so this can speak to how we should conduct ourselves while we are exiles. So 1 Peter 2:11 says that we are to abstain from the passions of the flesh that wage war against our soul. Okay, so now let's look at 1 John 2:15 and 16. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we are not to love the world. We are what did it say in there? We are temporary residents. We are foreigners in this world. We're not to love the world because if we love the world, love for the Father is not in us. And you see in there the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are the very three things that tripped up Adam and Eve. The devil is not really original. He keeps hammering those three points. But we can be taken captive on those three if we are not adhering to the truth, if we give way to the passions of the flesh that wage war against our soul. Another verse is Philippians 3:20. Now, you know, in this chapter, this is where Paul has the thing about, you know, I'm the Pharisee of Pharisees, but I count everything as loss that I may gain Christ. And he said, I want to do three things. I want to know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. And then he says, I forget everything that lies behind me, and I strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then he ends this chapter on this verse 20, and he says, but our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Living Translation says we're citizens of heaven. So we're exiles here, but our citizenship is in heaven. And while we are here, we are awaiting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say, who will change your lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. Amen. So all the more reason for us to walk in holiness. Okay, so how about James 4:4? In the New Living, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. I mean, my toes were getting stomped on. And I had to really take a look at, well, where's my heart? Where are my desires? What am I setting my eyes on? What am I setting my heart's desires on? Are they the things of God? Are they the things of the truth of the word that I am setting my heart on and my desires on? 1 Corinthians 3:1. Now here, you know, Paul's talking to the Corinthians, and in chapter 2, he said, but we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that we might understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And that was in verse 12 of chapter 2. And then he goes on to say that we can speak spiritual words to one another, and we can understand those spiritual words if we're spiritual. If we are not, it's going to sound like foolishness. And then he goes on to say in chapter 3 right here, he says, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger, and you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. So there's the danger. And so my heart's desire is that we at Living Waters will live spiritual lives, that we will walk in the truth, that we will edify one another, that we will build one another up, that we will confess our sins to one another so that we can be healed. And that's what the whole Freedom Prayer thing has been about, is that very thing, is staying free. Getting free and staying free. John 17:15-17. Now, I often talk about John 17:17 because it's a freedom verse. Jesus is praying and he says, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. But let's start at verse 15. He's praying to the Father and he says, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Okay? So we're not of this world, but we're in it. But he's saying to the Father, Father, make them holy by the truth of your word. So if Jesus is praying that, you reckon we can be? Yep. And that's what we need to do. Okay. So, while we are here, we can build homes and plan to stay. We can plant gardens and eat the food they produce. We can marry and have children. We can find spouses for them so you can have a lot of grandchildren. We can multiply and not dwindle away. Now, I think this is both physically and it's spiritually. See, we can have spiritual children, and we can be spiritual grandparents, and we can have lots and lots of spiritual grandchildren. And the church will not dwindle. It will increase. It will multiply. That's what we need to do while we're in the world. And it says, work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for its welfare will determine your welfare. We need to be praying for the welfare of Utopia, for Sabinal, for Vanderpool, for Concan, for Lakey. We are, down in Sabinal, we're praying for that little town. We're praying that the Holy Spirit will descend upon that town and make it holy. We're praying that the Holy Spirit will come against the evil in that town and expel it, banish it. Because the welfare of that town is going to determine my welfare. The welfare of Utopia is going to determine the welfare of people that live in and around Utopia, and so on and so on. So we need to search our hearts. Are we bitter? Are we angry? Do we hold grievances against the people in these towns? They may not know Christ, but they need to know Him. Pray for them. We should walk uprightly in front of them. In fact, that just reminded me of back there on that 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. The next verse, 12, says, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when He judges the world. Now comes the best part. Let's look at verse 10. This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. Now, 70 is an interesting number, and it's not just, it just didn't happen that it was 70 years. It was 70 years on purpose. It was 70 years on God's purpose. 7 is a number of completion. 10 is a number of the law, the word. And so this is a completion and an accomplishment of His word, His truth, His plan, His purpose at 70 years. Because if you flip back over to Jeremiah 25, well, let me say this first, but the next part of the sentence says, but then, after the 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised, and I will bring you home again. So those exiles are brought home again. He's going to do good for them according to His plan. And then over in Jeremiah 25:12, it says, then after the 70 years of captivity are over, I will punish the king of Babylon and his people for their sins. I will make the country of the Babylonians a wasteland forever. Turn to Revelation 14:8. Then another angel followed him through the sky, shouting, "Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen, because she made all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality." So for the Jews that were exiled to Babylon after 70 years, the Lord said, "I will come and do for you all the good things I promised, and I will bring you home again." And the same thing's going to happen to us, aliens and exiles. The Lord is going to come back, and he's going to do for us what he had always planned to do, and he's going to bring us back home to him, so that where he is, we will also be forever, for eternity. And that Babylon in Revelation will fall, just like the Babylon in Jeremiah fell. That's the promise to us. So, and y'all know the next verse is 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land." And so we're going to Beulah land. And we will always be with the Lord. But church, in the meantime, we are aliens and exiles. And we are to live uprightly. So I want to finish on with two more verses. And this is my exhortation to you, is to think about these last two verses and the rest of the message, what the Holy Spirit is saying, and decide what do you need to do. Go to the throne of grace and say, "Father, show me, search me, show me what I need to do in order to walk a holy life." Because in 2 Peter 1:3, he says that by his divine power, he has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. And it's cool because that Greek word for everything is pos, and it means everything. And so he's given us everything so that we can live godly lives. We can walk uprightly. He says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." So when we are in Christ and we are walking in Christ, we can walk holy lives in this world. And we can let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. Amen? Okay. So, go to Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 28. "Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe." We are receiving an unshakable kingdom. I'd really encourage you to read these verses 25 through the end of the chapter in the message. It's awesome. But we're receiving a kingdom that is unshakable. Let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. So, church, be a worshiping church. Come to the Father in utter reverence and awe, and worship him because he made you. You are his. And he bought you with the blood of Christ. Okay, last verse is uh, Let me think here. Oh, yeah. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'm going to start with verse 10, and I'll tell you what verse I want to major on. But verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire. And the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment." And here's the verse. "Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives you should live." So we worship Him in fear and awe, or reverence and awe, and in view of what's going to happen in the future. Right now, we need to live holy and godly lives, looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, He will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and a new earth He has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. I was reading about the New Jerusalem. It's going to have walls that are made out of jasper, and the whole city is made out of gold. Gold that is so fine it's transparent like glass. And the main street is paved with gold, and it's like looking through glass. I'm trying to imagine what this is like. The gates are made out of pearl, a single pearl. And the gates, there's 12 gates, and they're made out of pearl. That's what awaits us. I can't imagine it. I don't understand it. It's 1,200 miles wide and deep and high. But it's ours. And only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life can go in there. Righteousness. It will be filled with righteousness. There's no sun, there's no moon, because Almighty God and the Lamb is the light. Oh, so hallelujah. So, here's the deal. Tonight, we need to decide in our hearts, how are we going to live? Are we going to listen to the truth and nothing but the truth? Are we going to get the stinking thinking out? Are we going to get rid of the lies? We will walk uprightly. We will walk in truth. We will walk in holiness. We will walk in righteousness. We will walk in joy. We will walk in power. Because all of that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we are the victorious church. He ever leads us forth in victory. That's who we are. We're kids of the King. So, When Satan comes along and starts, you know, oh man, you know, you can switch channels and you can go to this other picture on the tube and you can watch it. Oh, another hour, that's not going to hurt. And then another hour. And then you found out you spent all of your time watching some, I don't even have a word for it, but it isn't truth. And when you could be praying the word, you could be seeking the Lord and saying, Father God, how do I make a difference in my town? How do I stand up in righteousness in my town? How do I exhibit Christ? Speak to me. Father, I go on a prayer walk every day, and I And one of my things is, Father, I need revelation. I need understanding. I need wisdom. I need knowledge, discernment, insight, and I need really good judgment. And he says he'll give us that if we seek for it as if we're seeking for hidden treasure. Proverbs chapter 2. So, and he does. You know what? He delights to give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding, discernment, insight, and good judgment. That's his delight. He delights in every detail of your life. So, let the church hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. And let's see what will happen. Because you know what's going to happen? There's going to be revival. And that revival, as Maggie said at Life Group 2 weeks ago, starts with me. You. Living like Christ wants us to live. Let's pray. So, Father God, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you that it is life. Zoe, thank you for that life, abundant life. It's filling us up. It's spilling over. It's running out like a river, that kind of life. And so, Father, we stand with all the armor of God in this evil day, and having done all, we will stand. We will stand with one another, shoulder to shoulder, side by side for the faith of the gospel. We will be unified in one mind and in one spirit. We will speak truth out of our mouth. We will walk in revelation. We will walk revelatory lives in Christ Jesus, because you said that we will hear a voice behind us, a word behind us, saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever we turn to the right or when we turn to the left. That's you. That's your Holy Spirit. You live in us. You direct our steps, and you lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. So we worship you with reverence and awe through Jesus our Lord. Amen and amen. So let's take up the offering. Anyone need a thing? Mine are in my Bible. Oh, my Bible's up here. You need an envelope? Okay. So, Father God, I pray for this offering and for just returning everything that you've given us right back to you, and we ask you to do great and mighty things with it, do miraculous, supernatural things with it, make your name known throughout the earth. I ask you, Father, to raise up your church to be a beautiful and awesome bride, and that we would meet together and stir up one another to love and good works, and that we would encourage one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near when you're going to come back and you're going to restore us to the land and we're going to be with you forever. So, Father, bless this offering mightily. Make it overflow and accomplish your purpose in Jesus' name. Amen. Do we have any announcements? What time is that? What time? It's sometime that day. Okay. You can't miss a parade in Utopia. Anything else? This Sunday, is it anything special? Huh? Kids Ablaze. Okay. We'll do something a little bit different tonight. We'll close the service, but I'm going to ask my good buddy, Dwayne Jocelyn, if he'll close with a prayer. Just yell out loud.